the best way to start your sports weekend. This is the WILS Weekend Kickoff with Dave Benton on 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff 1320 WILS. Dave Benton here with my co-host and producer, Scott Eckersley, streaming on live at 1320WILS.com. You can also become a fan of the show on Facebook at 1320 WILS Weekend Kickoff. Stop by, Scott, some good audio from Thursday night's game against Penn State, and then follow us on Twitter at WILS Weekend Kick. Scott, I started to talk about, before we got a hold of Vince Ellis there, about quarterbacks in the NFL. And what is the best way to raise a quarterback? Do you put him out there? Do you just toss him into the deep end and let him play? Or do you raise him for a little while and sit him behind a veteran, let him learn the system, and then play? Because you talk about Aaron Rodgers and Ben Roethlisberger, and we got two different types. What would you do if you're the Detroit Lions? Okay, let's say Matthew Stafford gets injured and we got to draft a new quarterback. Okay, if you are the Detroit Lions, you draft a quarterback. Do you play him right away or do you sit him?
When do I draft him?
We'll talk, well, because most of the stats I'm about to go through are top 10 picks, so we'll go top 10.
I start him.
I mean, this is a quarterback. He's your future franchise player. Do you start him or sit him?
I start him. Money has to do a lot with it. He's the guy. You're paying him too much money to have him on the bench this year. I would prefer to be able to put him behind somebody, a proven quarterback who's kind of maybe has a year left, but you can't afford to right now. You'd have to start him. Top 10 pick, paying him too much money to sit on the bench.
Some situations end up working out very well. For example, the Green Bay Packers, when they got Aaron Rodgers, you got a top 3 pick at number 24 because nobody needed a quarterback other than the 49ers before that. So you got him, you got to sit him behind Brett Favre, and he played 3 years later because he got to sit and learn. Okay, you look at other situations. The Bengals had 1 year left on John Kitna's contract. They drafted Carson Palmer, sat him behind Kitna for a year. It worked out. I see where you're coming from with this whole thing where you got to play him right away if you got the money.
And the thing, in that situation, if it was a few years down the road and it wasn't because Stafford was injured, then I would sit him, but I don't want him sitting behind Sean Hill to learn things. You throw him in right now.
Some interesting things that I've looked at, and I went back and I researched all top 10 quarterback picks since 1990. Part of the reason I did that, okay, because I know you can throw in guys like Marino and Jim Kelly and John Elway and all these guys and how they started their first year. I think football is a different game now. I think linebackers are faster. I think defensive linemen are smarter. I think DBs are smarter. I think it's a tougher game to learn how to play now than it was back then. So I think situations have changed. If it were me, I'm raising a quarterback, and I'm going to play him after a couple of years. Now, that's not to say it doesn't work. If you look at some players, Peyton Manning, first pick for the Colts. Okay, they threw him in there right away. Now, his first year, he had more interceptions than touchdowns. Almost had a nervous breakdown, but he ended up learning on the job, and he ended up his second year going 13-3. So that's a successful story. Donovan McNabb's a guy, okay? Second pick. Played in 12 games his rookie year. His history's been pretty darn good since that. But you also look at the laundry list of players that have been drafted and then thrown in right away, and it's not good. Okay, and not all of them deserve to be that high of a pick. I look at some of these guys, and I'm just like, man, Blaine Gabbert. You know, Blaine Gabbert is going to be this type of quarterback where had no business being a top 5 pick, somehow made his way up the scouting ranks, and got drafted, and then failed.
Let's look at that, because look at the teams that are picking high. They desperately need a quarterback, and if they're picking Blaine Gabbert, you and I talked about this last night, and I said he's the type of guy where you would need to put him behind somebody, because he hasn't played in any big games.
I think Blaine Gabbert is a worse quarterback than Chase Daniel was at Missouri.
Oh, definitely.
And Chase Daniel's nowhere near an NFL starting quarterback.
But if you look at it, he's going to get picked in this, just in this situation where he's at, from what I'm hearing, consensus top quarterback taken. In these teams that are going to be selecting in that top 10 who desperately need a quarterback, they don't have somebody to put him behind.
Which I think is silly, because if you're a team like the Bills, okay, let's take your first round pick, number 3 overall. You're telling me you can't try and package together a deal to get Kevin Cobb or Carson Palmer or something like that. You flaunt that third overall pick in front of one of those teams, and you're telling me they won't bite at it? I don't buy that. You don't have to take a quarterback just because you're at three and you need a quarterback. If the quarterback is not a third overall pick potential, you shouldn't take him now. Now, I look at some quarterbacks over the years, okay, and there have been some duds. A guy like Dave Klingler had no business being the sixth pick with the Bengals back in 92, okay? But I also look at some quarterbacks that I think just got thrown into rough situations, and had they been raised well enough, I think they could have been quarterbacks, okay? I still believe if Ryan Leaf had been given a couple of years to mature, because he was a junior coming out of Washington State, out of a spread offense, he had the tools to be a good NFL quarterback, too immature to play, needed to sit him for a couple of years. David Carr, first overall pick with the Texans, had all the tools, great thrower. In fact, if you look at David Carr's numbers, as a third-year starter, he had a QB rating in the 80s. Total in his career, he had more QB rating years in the 80s than he did in the 70s or 60s. But because he had those first rough years, he never got over that reputation as a bust first-round pick, and he ended up floundering. And the last guy I'll look at, and I know I'm going to get some flack for this, I think Joey Harrington got a raw deal with the Detroit Lions. I think Joey Harrington could make all the throws. I think Joey Harrington was a smart enough quarterback, but he got thrown into a rough situation in Detroit. And for as many good games as he had bad games, and he ended up getting thrown to the wolves by playing his first year.
Yeah, I'm with you on arguments, but I'm going to leave you on your own.
That's
with
fine.
Trying to defend Joey Harrington.
That's
sorry,
fine. I don't even have stats to back up Joey Harrington. I just looked at the total package with Joey Harrington, and I've said this before. Sometimes he made some throws that I think there's maybe five NFL quarterbacks that could make those throws. But then he also made throws that you said, there's only five NFL quarterbacks that would have tried to make that throw, and they're all pretty bad or out of the league. Okay, guy like Akili Smith would have tried to make that throw. And that was the problem, is that Joey Harrington never had that growing process. Okay, Joey Harrington was thrown in and they said, you're the leader of this team. And you sat there and you went, Joey Harrington should not be the leader of this team at this point. They should have played somebody else and raised him up a little bit.
Well, I think this is kind of where the term bust comes from, mm-hmm. is because of the guys who get thrown in right away and are expected to do so much right now.
Now, if you want to throw in the argument the other way around, okay, Philip Rivers, drafted fourth in 2004, sat his first two seasons. He's having a pretty good career so far. Michael Vick started only two games his first year. Now, he was a rough quarterback up until he went to jail, but he's having a pretty good career now. Okay, Carson Palmer, who you can say is a bad quarterback now, before the injuries, Carson Palmer was a good quarterback. Okay, how about Steve McNair? Steve McNair, a third overall pick, only played in six games his first two seasons. He ended up having a pretty good career. And if you look top to bottom, there are more quarterbacks with successful careers if they sat than there are sad stories of players that played right away. Now, you could throw Akili Smith into the argument of, well, we tried to raise him and he was awful. But I think Akili Smith was just an awful quarterback that had no business going to the NFL. But I think there's an argument to be made either way. I personally think that in the NFL, in this day and age, with the speed that goes on defenses and the complexity of the defenses, I think players need at least three-fourths of that first season to sit and watch and learn from a veteran. That's just my personal opinion. Let's get over to some games. There's some big games going on today, Scott, college basketball-wise, that we ought to talk about. One in the Big Ten, Ohio State, okay, 24-0, 11-0 in the Big Ten, takes on Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, does Wisconsin have a shot to beat Ohio State?
They have a shot, but not a great one. I have not seen anything from any other team in the Big Ten or anything from Ohio State to make me pick against them throughout the season.
I think they've got a very good shot of running the table, and you were right about them.
Wait, buy them. You're switching over to that?
No.
You've been against Ohio State for a while. Not against them, but...
Well, switching over, I think, is the wrong term. I think coming to reality and being sold by Ohio State is a better term than... You're making it sound like I flip-flop. There's a difference between flip-flopping and announcing that you were wrong and saying that this team is better than you thought you were.
I hear it all the same from you, Dave.
Whatever, dude. That's not a flip-flop, okay? A flip-flop would be if I had pretended like I never said Ohio State was good, and then all of a sudden was just like, see, I told you Ohio State was good. I thought Ohio State was a good team, not a great team. They are showing me that they are a great team, and I am sold on them now.
Oh, yeah.
I look at the rest of their schedule. They trounce Purdue, so I don't see that as a win. I think Wisconsin in one of these two next matchups against Wisconsin is the only chance that somebody has to knock off Wisconsin in the regular season. So I don't think Wisconsin ends up winning this game. I think that's a pretty tough matchup for them. I think I like Ohio State. I think that Sullinger gives them that dimension that Turner couldn't give them last year, which is you've got four seniors playing well, plus you have Kraft, and then you have Sullinger that is playing fantastic down low, and it just shows you what a big man can do. They've got a little bit more depth this year. And I like what I see at Ohio State based on what I've seen compared to what I thought about them early in the year. I didn't flip-flop on Ohio State. I decided that they were a better team than I had originally analyzed them to be.
I think,
and there's a big difference between.
Oh, and I don't think you're the only person who had to see them prove a little bit more, and they have done that.
Calling me a flip flopper, get out of here! Another big game today: Pitt versus Villanova. Villanova's another team that it depends on the game that they're playing. Some games I'm like, wow, Villanova's really good, and then other games they just get beat up bad inside. And I think Pittsburgh's one of those teams that can beat them bad inside. And I look for Pittsburgh to win that game. Appreciate all the guests we had today. Mario Mpemba, Fox Sports Detroit, was with us talking Tigers and a little bit of Oakland basketball. And then Vince Ellis of the Detroit Free Press talking Pistons basketball and the ownership change there. For Scott Eckersley, my co-host and producer, I'm Dave Benton. Have a good weekend. It's Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.